First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And if you'd like to access the archives of the Alan Nathan Show, which is a veritable history in talk radio for like 23 years more, I think it's more, all you got to do is go to www.mainstreetradionetwork.com, and there you'll find, as I say, a history of the Alan Nathan Show's. Very valuable if you want to go back and see what was being said on a particular day. Well, I am delighted to have with us at the top of this first hour, founder and president of the New York-based American Center for Democracy and the Economic Warfare Institute. She is author of The Soros Agenda, which we will talk about that and a whole lot more. Lots going on in the news. Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Doctor. Dr. Ehrenfeld, thank you for joining us once again.
Nice being with you.
Yes, it's good to have you. And it seems like we're living in an alternate universe these days. We have been talking on and off about the college campuses where I myself posted a tweet, on Twitter, a woman who was confronted by none other than a transgender person dressed as a woman who told this young girl that he would be, she, whatever, would be murdered because it's illegal to be either gay or trans in Muslim countries. And not only was she surprised, but she very much thought Israel was a Muslim country. That is how much ignorance. Oh, well, but isn't Israel the Muslim country? No. I have seen tweets in which people said that LGBT people are safer in Gaza than they are in Florida. That's how ignorant they are. And I think you say that it's the Soros agenda, not just George Soros, who's well into his 90s, but his four sons with his eldest son at the helm that is running a lot of this. And we both know that they are of Jewish descent. You and I are too. God, we're everywhere, aren't we? And we don't all think alike. So tell us how Soros fits into all of this, if you would, and then we'll talk about our esteemed vice president and what she said.
Yeah. Well, Alex Soros, Alexander Soros, who now runs the Open Society Foundation, is the youngest. He's not the oldest. Though the other brothers are also donating funds to the same left, a radical left, progressive organizations as the foundations and as their father had. And Alexander Soros has his own, in addition to the Open Society Foundation, he has his own foundations, which are, I guess, immersed into the Open Society Foundation. They have billions of dollars to spend, and they are actually spending them in order to encourage the everything woke, everything to deny America, what used to be American values, family, country, the Constitution, decency. I mean, these all
the rule of law. The Soroses have bought judges. right?
Yeah, the rule of law was actually George Soros's main target when he opened his Open Society Institute in Manhattan in 1993. It later changed into the Open Society Foundation. He targeted the legal system. He wanted to change America. And in order to do that, he set out to change the criminal legal system of the United States of America. And, of course, he didn't like the Constitution. And he wrote some articles about, you know, what kind of amendments should be actually in place if he was in charge. And why? Because the Constitution is archaic. I mean, you know, well, the founding father.
Yeah, but the real goal is he a communist? Is he a totalitarian? What is at the root philosophically of the Soros agenda? And then we'll get into the Jew hatred, which is also quite prominent. So first, what's the philosophy, really?
So Soros considers himself a philosopher, though not acknowledged as such. And he, so therefore, he has a chip on his shoulder because his philosophy was not recognized. But his philosophy is mumbo-jumbo. The issues that he supports and has been supporting are radical, progressive left, neo-Marxist. He says he doesn't like communism, he doesn't like fascism. So he developed something that is in between.
But he also uses his wealth to take wealth away from everybody else. That's
like
pretty
that,
much totalitarian,
you know.
Isn't it?
he doesn't like capitalism.
No.
which allowed him to become so rich.
Yes.
So he doesn't like the Jewish state of Israel.
Why doesn't he like Jews? He is ethnically a Jew. What does he have against Jews and Israel?
He was born into a Jewish family, which was not observant of anything Jewish. He, in fact, had written that his mother, they were so assimilated that his mother was, because he said, anti-Semitic. She didn't like Jews.
I read that.
My book, The Soros Agenda, is filled with citations from Soros. I didn't make up anything. Everything that I say is documented as Soros actually conveying his opinion about these issues. I'm citing him. And the resources are there. He doesn't like them because he doesn't think that they should have a country. They should be like Israel. Okay, so there is a state of Israel, but it shouldn't be a Jewish state.
Yeah, but Arab countries have more than 57 states, and they're Arab Muslim countries. He has no problem with that.
He liked many of them and worked with many of them. He supported the very bad Iran deal that Obama had signed with Iran that facilitated Iran's development of nuclear towards nuclear weapons, which they are about really to achieve. Biden, of course, has been continuing that, actually took away the sanctions that were put on Iran during the Trump administration. He supported, of course, biggest donor to the Democratic Party. He supported both Obama and supported, of course, Biden, very much against Trump. He said he will do everything in order to get rid of Trump.
Anybody who doesn't like the Constitution or America or Israel is not going to like Trump. That's quite clear. Can we drill down? Just we only have a couple of minutes. Can you stay for one more segment?
Yeah, I could.
That would be marvelous. Can we drill down? Because, and I know it's speculation, but when someone's born into a certain culture and they have that amount of vitriol and hate that is so imbalanced, you know, there shouldn't be one single Jewish state, but there can be 57 plus Arab states, and that's okay. It sounds psychotic. Has there been like a psychiatric analysis of what it is that causes him so much hate?
I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a clinical psychologist. I didn't interview him, so I couldn't attribute anything to him. I can only mention what he says.
Yeah, and you do a public service in doing so. We are going to take a quick break, and Dr. Ehrenfeld has graciously agreed to stay with us because our very own vice president is mourning the Palestinians that were holding Israeli hostages, but she's sad that those Gazans, whatever, were killed in a raid to win back innocent hostages. What is going on? We'll have Dr. Ehrenfeld back right after this. Don't go away.
Every year around this time, going into peak camping season, Campgrounds of America publishes our Camping and Outdoor Hospitality Report, which is a deep dive into what to expect this camping season. We look at demographics, we look at the amount of people who are camping, but we also look at what campers are telling us that they want from their camping experience. From accommodations to amenities to recreation, we dig into it. This year, our campers are telling us they're really interested in glamping, going out and really experiencing different types of accommodations. What that looks like for Campgrounds of America are deluxe cabins with linens and kitchenettes and bathrooms, safari tents, cabooses, yurts, tree houses, anything that is very unique, but also amenity filled. Please go and visit us at KOA.com, where you'll be able to see inventory and make a reservation.
If you're planning your upcoming trip for the summer, you really got to look at destination that's going to be unique, it's going to be exciting, it's going to be new, it's going to be fresh, and we think St. Kitts has got that for you. So, you know, if you're looking for somewhere that's going to be on your bucket list, we definitely want to welcome you to St. Kitts. And when you get to St. Kitts, it's one of those destinations where you can go and fly and flop, or if you don't want to do that, there's a lot of activities that you can take advantage of. And we really want to encourage the visitors to go and venture deeper. So you can take advantage of hiking in our rainforest. And we are actually one of the only rainforests that's actually expanding rather than contracting. And within the rainforest, there's Mount Liamiga. It's a 3,000 feet high volcano, dormant, of course, that you can go and hike up. And, you know, it really is a really great experience. And in addition to that, you can go ATVing in the rainforest and also take advantage of a zip line experience. For more information, please visit our website. It's called visitstkitts.com.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Jason Derulo. I love that music connects to people all over the country. But unfortunately, so does something else. Childhood hunger. 15 million kids struggle with hunger right here in America. And yet, every year, billions of pounds of surplus food in the U.S. go to waste instead of going to the children in need. Feeding America is working to change this. The Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks rescues this surplus of food to help provide meals to families in virtually every community in the United States, including yours. But they just can't do this alone. Join me in the fight against hunger in America. For more information on what you can do to get involved visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we are pleased to have with us Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, founder and president of the New York-based American Center for Democracy and the Economic Warfare Institute. She's the author of The Soros Agenda, which we talked about at length. Where can people get that book, Doctor? And then we'll move on to this other issue that I wanted to cover.
The Soros Agenda is available on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, and other booksellers. And if you go to acdemocracy.org, acdemocracy.org, you can find more details, well, to exactly to buy the book, Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, etc., and more information and more articles about Soros, since the book has been written and before, and yeah. Also about what is happening in the Middle East and the Hamas war and things like that.
And very helpful. Yes.
Which gets me to what, as you mentioned, the vice president, Kamala Harris, and it's really like the Biden administration in general, the president as well, specifically, she spoke in Michigan, where there is a big Muslim or relatively large Muslim community, which the Biden administration is looking to recruit to vote for them. So they are sympathizing with Hamas, with a radical Islamic organization that vowed to kill all the Jews and calls for the destruction of the Jewish state of Israel, as well as America, the United States of America.
Yeah. With respect, I don't think they need to be persuaded, the Biden administration. I think they do it willingly. People say they just want the votes in Michigan. That's to give them too much credit. They have proven again and again and again that they are anti-Israel.
This is complete moral bankruptcy. How can you? It is exactly like supporting the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda. And to support a radical Islamic terrorist organizations, they should do everything in order to fight against this, to educate the people how terrible radical Islam is, and really cut down on this propaganda and stop the violent demonstrations in Washington and elsewhere. But they are doing nothing. So she actually conveyed her sorrow for the Hamas. She called them innocent Palestinians that were killed in Gaza when the Israelis rescued the hostages. This is outrageous. This is unforgivable. She is mourning terrorists and blaming Israel for killing them while rescuing their own people who were taken hostage 8 months ago. The United States is not doing anything, apparently. They want to cut a special deal with Hamas, with the terrorist organization. They are not supposed to deal with the terrorist organization in order to get the American hostages, because they have done nothing in order to get them. So this is truly complete moral corruption, moral decay.
Dr. Ehrenfeld, in the context of what you're talking about, and I'm so glad that you're talking about it, it bears mentioning that only immediately after it was revealed, and I'm not, making this up, I'm not making it up, that the Israeli hostages were in the homes, being kept in the homes of Gazans, who have consistently been portrayed as innocent civilians and non-combatants. So these are the people. Go ahead.
The people that, for example, held the women hostages who was released, the husband was who was killed by the IDF. He was actually a reporter and photographer for Al Jazeera. So Al Jazeera, the Qatari lying broadcast and media that has been banned now in Israel, should be banned in the United States as well. And the others were, they were regular, there were Gazans who were supporting Hamas.
They weren't regular. They were holding
Hamas members who also vowed to kill the Jews, and they held her as hostage because they could get something in return. They didn't want to return her. The hostages were being maltreated, all of them. Many of them have already was already confirmed that they are dead. We don't know how many others are dead or alive. Because Hamas is not giving any information, and the Biden administration is groveling to negotiate with them and asking them, please. I mean,
and to feel sorry for them, while Israel is expected to look out and care more for their enemies' citizens than their enemies care for their own citizens.
No,
it really, truly is upside down.
For Hamas and radical Muslims in general, the population is, it's not innocent. They are using them in order to advance their own agenda. The more people they manage to get killed, the more martyrs they have, and so they can proceed with their shit agenda, really, of killing all the infidels, including Jews, including Christians.
Can you speak to the fact that the American media has used Hamas numbers of casualties, which the American media parrots, and they're using numbers from Hamas. And now we found out it was half of that.
Media, the American main media is the New York Times, the Washington Post, and similar publications. They hate Israel. They tout the Biden administration policies of preference and to Iran, and this is the Iran agenda.
Yes.
And
this
Hamas
is suicide.
And Islam.
It's suicide. I'm sorry
It is dangerous for the United States. Very dangerous,
of course,
because we don't know how many people came across the border that are supporting them. And I hope we won't find out very soon.
If you hate America, you should be for Iran and Hamas. That's the bottom line. It's so tough, and we have like 30 seconds. What can everyday citizens do? Because it seems like we're being subjugated and having this pushed down our throats, and Americans themselves are not anti-Israel.
They can go, for example, to the American Center for Democracy website, acdemocracy.org, and they will find in many articles really good information explaining what is going on and where we are right and what should we do.
That is so valuable, and I encourage everybody to go there. Decide for yourself. If we want a free country, you still have to be a free thinker. Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, thank you for joining us and the graciousness of your time. When we come back, we'll have more from the Alan Nathan Show. Don't go away. I'm Karen Cataline. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
With endless sunshine and warmer days, summer fun means entertaining more often. When planning, experts suggest simplifying your food and wine menu. Winemaker Chris Luton and executive chef Peter Janiak, St. Francis Winery and Vineyards, share their expert advice and recipes found on the website.
I would pair with light, crisp white wines such as a Sauvignon Blanc or Chardonnay, salads, seafood, grilled vegetables. With a full-bodied red wine such as Cabernet Sauvignon, I think that goes really well with heavier dishes such as steak or lamb.
The asparagus pairs great with our Sauvignon Blanc. Those bitter notes really make the fruit-forward Sauvignon Blanc shine. Our corn and coconut bisque is great with our Sonoma County Chardonnay. With our Sonoma County Cabernet Sauvignon, I like a grilled hanger steak. I use a green tomato chimichurri to give a little brightness and herbaceousness to the pairing.
For these recipes and more, visit stfranciswinery.com/summerpairings.
This report is sponsored by Amazon. Did you know that you can now save even more when you shop with Amazon Access this summer? Amazon Access is your one-stop shop to learn about programs, discounts, and features that make shopping on Amazon even easier and more affordable, like shopping select grocery items with Snap EBT or getting 50% off your monthly Prime membership with Prime Access. And now, Amazon Access introduces Access Discounts, a new program that offers exclusive discounts and deals to qualified customers. Visit amazon.com/access to learn how you can save 15 to 20% on select groceries and everyday essentials from brands like McCormick, Starkist, Frank's, Poise, Water Wipes, Depend, and more. Shop shelf-stable groceries, coffee and espresso products, condiments and seasonings, personal care items, and more at just a fraction of the cost. Save big with Amazon Access this summer and visit amazon.com/access to learn more about Access discounts today.
Just in time for summer patio season, a new quarterly report from Square is examining the state of the restaurant industry with some surprising results. Ning-Tai Ha, head of restaurants at Square.
Diners have made some changes since before the pandemic, choosing to spend more on the weekends than they did before. And despite remote and hybrid work, happy hour is more popular than before 2019.
The additional rush means more money for restaurants, which is important as labor costs increase. Since 2017, average hourly earnings for restaurant workers have gone up 66%. But some restaurants, like quick service establishments and cafes, have actually seen payroll costs go down.
Bars and full service restaurants rely more on higher skilled employees who perform hard to automate tasks, which increase payroll costs. It's the exact opposite for QSRs and cafes. They can more easily leverage technology to automate and streamline operations, helping lower operating costs for front and back of house.
Learn more at square.com.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries, from healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, happily filling in as a regular guest host of the Alan Nathan Show. And it is always a pleasure. Don't get to talk to him too often. To talk to CEO of Publius PR. Somebody, full disclosure, that we use frequently to book many great guests on this program and many others. They've provided a stellar list of them. And this is the CEO. His name is AJ Rice. He's a former executive producer to the Laura Ingraham Show and author of the upcoming book. Can't wait to talk to him about this. The White Privilege Album, Bringing Racial Harmony to Very Fine People on Both Sides. AJ Rice, always with tongue in cheek. Thanks for joining us here.
always. My Karen, my long lost sister. We're together at last.
Well, it is a pleasure. And, you know, we were asking you what you want to talk about. And then I got the update. I went, oh, he's got a new book. He is so prolific. Talk to us about this book.
Indeed.
And are you channeling Charlottesville? What's going on here?
I certainly am. One of
Unpack
the great hosts of our time. That is exactly correct.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, look, the new book, White Privilege Album, dedicated to the Beatles, comes out in September. It should be fun. It's a sequel to the last book, which was called The Woking Dead, except this time we're going to drill down on some of the sort of race hoaxes and race hustlers and perpetual dividing that the left tries to do in the United States. That is, as we speak, backfiring, because as most people are reading and seeing, and you're seeing these numbers, Donald J. Trump is starting to acquire more of the black, brown, Muslim vote in the United States than any Republican since Eisenhower. Now, he increased in all those categories in 2020. In fact, as I wrote before, the only group he didn't increase with was the sort of the soy latte drinking white males that majored in feminist studies. Ironically, the white male vote, Trump lost a little bit of them in 2020, but he gained with white females and every other Benetton.
Well, maybe he lost the toxic male vote, but the proud male vote he probably didn't lose.
That's right. That's right. exactly. The males, and Karen, as I'm sure you can probably imagine, those males in 2020, when they're voting this time around, they probably already became females at this point.
Could be.
They're transition voters. Yes.
And that's why it's so fun to talk to you. I'm looking at this bio of your book, The White Privilege Album. When is this coming out, by the way? Is it in August?
Yes, September. September.
September.
Just in time to ruin everyone's election, for sure.
Perfect timing.
That's right. That's right.
And I love this. You'd prefer to be Mel Brooks to Aristotle, George Carlin, instead of Ricky Gervais. I mean, you know, Mel Brooks.
Anyone that knows that has seen my interviews and, you know, videos, you can find me fairly easily. Just Google AJ Rice. I mean, I write the way I talk. And, you know, I represent the corner of the Republican Party known as Joe Pesci conservatism. So, you know, I mean, I like to bust stones, and we do that quite a bit. There's way more comedy in this second book than there was in the first one. Because, look, with the left, the thing that scares them the most is when we can hang a great joke on them and we can, you know, mock them into submission, because they think they're immune to that, because they've got a lot of their comedians, especially the late night hosts,
yes,
under their thumb, making appropriately timed run through the transom at the DNC jokes, right? So we're here to mock the hell out of them. We're not going to stop. I know you like doing that.
They take themselves so damn seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
You
I
know?
Mean, look, if we're going to go to the gallows, we might as well laugh our way there.
That is dark humor. What's one of the best pieces of mockery that you can share that'll whet our appetite about this book?
Well, that everything's racist, right? So Alzheimer's race is racist, math is racist, and there's all kinds of things that are racist. Now, I will tell you, in the book, I don't want to spoil anything, but I do have a few sort of satirical pieces, one of which was a commencement address by Joe Biden that he never really gave. Ironically, he did give something similar this year. I wrote a commencement address for Biden the year before this one he just gave at Howard University. Or at Morehouse University. So I just want the audience to think about this. when you're looking around at the pro-Hamas caucus on the college campuses of America, right?
Yeah.
Are you seeing pro-Hamas rallies anywhere on what are considered HBCU campuses? No, you're not. Historically black colleges and universities. You know why? Because most of those kids, they escaped hell on earth to get to college, right?
Yep.
No, it's the lily white campuses of Yale and Columbia and UCLA that you're seeing. So isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? The blackest campuses in America are all behaving. No
isn't that
way,
funny?
You say?
Also, Hillsdale College, I don't recall, had any protests, you know, calling for the genocide of an entire people. I don't think they did that. No.
That's right. So look, I mean, we expose how the left treats minorities, how they take them for granted. We go through all of our holidays and a lot of our history, and we try to do a couple things. Defend the nuclear family, defend the middle class, and preserve Western civilization. Because when you hear the term white privilege, ladies and gentlemen, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about those three things: the nuclear family, the middle class, and Western civilization. Because they want to remove those things from us. I mean, Black Lives Matter pretty much told us they wanted to do that.
Of course.
And that's why they supported Hamas right out of the gate. Even if the historically black colleges and universities have nothing in common with Black Lives Matter. Nothing.
Right.
So that's the irony, of course. That is the irony.
And look,
we're going to expose the left, and most of the racism being driven on us and most of the dividing being driven on us are coming from white liberals, and we all know it.
Isn't that bizarre? They're the ones that get upset about the Cleveland Indians. The Indians don't get mad, but white liberal women do.
Exactly.
Don't we also, I don't know how persuasive it is, AJ, but don't we also have to say what the true goal is here? Because it isn't enough to say even that that's what they want to do. They want to destroy the nuclear family faith. They certainly want to destroy individuality of all kinds. Because all of that feeds Marxism. You said it.
That's right.
But that's the real goal. It isn't just for its own sake. It's that you can't have Marxism if you have a culture that reveres individuality and free will.
Correct.
And accountability.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And look, that's what The Woking Dead was about. It was sort of setting the table that this Marxism is cultural Marxism. And in order for them to replace our culture with their bleak image, they have to tear down the pillars of Western civilization, and they have got a jump start on us. And we better wake up in November when we go out to vote.
AJ, you know, there's so many times I've asked pundits, many of them you've supplied, what's our best hope? Because we have the curse of awareness. You and I have had the curse of awareness for a long time. Many of our audience members have too. And we cannot get discouraged, but what is our best hope? Because this is the subjugation of Western civilization.
Well, our best hope right now, I mean, Lincoln was the great emancipator. Reagan was the great communicator. Our best hope right now is the great disruptor. Donald Trump is the great disruptor. He's going to disrupt the World Economic Forum, the WHO, the UN, the pharmaceutical companies, whatever he needs to do. And certainly the Woking Dead and the trans mafia and the rest of the cultural Marxists out there that are the baby groomers trying to abduct your children, without a doubt. So the great disruptor right now is our only hope, at least to plug the dam for 4 years, which is why who he picks as his vice president is very, very crucial.
We got to have free and fair elections in order for that to even happen.
That
is the key to all of it. Marxists never leave voting to chance. We all know what Stalin said. It's not who votes. It's who counts the votes. And I think anybody who has sense and knows how much people were persecuted for merely asking questions, God forbid, you should have an individual thought in your head. Were punished for asking questions, even though those were the same questions the left asked when they lost. So that is key to it all.
Correct.
What do you want to say in our last second? Actually, tell everybody how they can hopefully advance order this book, The White
Pre-sale
Privilege
now.
Album.
Yeah, the White Privilege album available for pre-sales, Amazon, and whiteprivilegealbum.com.
Boundless energy, boundless enthusiasm, with a little mockery thrown in. AJ Rice, thank you for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show. We appreciate you. Well, we're going to wrap up the show with one more story. I'll tell you about that when we get back. What's going on in Florida with Disney and DeSantis? We'll let you know after this. Don't go away.
Circle K is hosting another nationwide Circle K Fuel Day. On Thursday, May 23rd, 2024, customers can save up to 40 cents off each gallon of fuel between 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. local time. The discount is applied directly at the pump. Circle K is offering this discount to thank customers and help fuel their Memorial Day weekend trips. In honor of Memorial Day, 10% of the profits from fuel sales during the Fuel Day event will be donated to Circle K's nonprofit partner, Children of Fallen Patriots Foundation, which provides college scholarships and educational counseling to military children who have lost a parent in the line of duty. Plus, while fueling up, customers can also save big while cooling down with any size Polar Pop or Froster for just 79 cents all summer long at Circle K, America's thirst stop. More than 5,500 Circle K locations across the U.S. are participating in Circle K Fuel Day. To see if your local Circle K location is offering this deal, visit CircleK.com/Fuel Day.
The first thing is just get yourself organized. Again, that first payment is going to come at you pretty quickly. So make sure you understand your loan terms and just know how to actually make the payment. The second thing is, if you don't have a budget set up, I recommend having a budget. There are a lot of tools available online, but if you need support, we have many resources available at fidelity.com/student debt help. And the third thing I would do, and this could be a bit of a surprise, is talk to your employer. More and more employers are actually offering help when it comes to student debt. Employers have recognized that student debt is a burden for so many of their employees, and they've started to lean in two primary ways. The first is by just directly paying down on their employees' student loans. And this hits right to the heart of the issue, and it helps their employees to pay down their debt faster. More tools and supports available at fidelity.com/student debt help.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Well, welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we wrap up the show with our final guest, Republican candidate for the House in Florida's 15th District. She once ran against Representative Adam Schiff of California, Colorado, same difference, as an independent. And thank you, Jennifer Barbosa, for joining us right here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you. So you moved from California to Florida. Good for you. Good for you. So what's going on with Disney and DeSantis? One minute we saw that he was taking away their tax benefits. Now it seems like he made some kind of deal with them for $17 million. Give us the insight as to what's really going on there.
Sure. Well, it wasn't very hard to move from California to Florida because I'm originally a Floridian, so that was easy. I knew what I was missing. with respect to DeSantis, yes, it's very hard to find the details of the settlement. We see a lot of headlines about how they reached the settlement, the fighting's over, but it's hard to find the details. It appears that DeSantis was blocking Disney, or DeSantis's people were blocking Disney from an expansion. They were building another park or two in the area, and so instead of giving Disney kind of free rein as they have had over their property for so many years, DeSantis is making Disney adhere to certain guidelines that other real estate developers have to adhere to, such as investing in infrastructure and providing affordable housing while they're also building luxury housing for a profit.
Yeah. So didn't he stop all their tax breaks? It seemed like that's what I remember. They were getting all these tax breaks, and he put an end to that gravy train. What's the $17 billion Florida investment about?
Well, he threatened to revoke all of their tax breaks, and that's when the fight ensued. So it's not that he took away all of their tax breaks. It's just that he threatened to, and that brought them to the table and made them have to negotiate in terms of what they're allowed to build or not build here in Florida now, and how much they have to reinvest in Florida so that it benefits the residents and the taxpayers here.
Uh-huh. Well, from what you know, and because you are running for office, what do you think is going on? Is this a straight-up deal? I mean, a lot of people got a little disenchanted with DeSantis while he was running for office, but he's been, what many people think, a great governor. So what say you?
Well, in terms of governors during COVID, I thought DeSantis was fabulous because compared to, say, Newsom in California, he did not lock down. He didn't go along with the vaccine mandates. You know, he pushed back against a lot of those restrictions, and that was really important for human rights and for constitutional rights. Just really important for him to have done that. In terms of the Disney deal, I think it's really a standard negotiating thing. I mean, we saw Trump say, "Okay, we're leaving NATO unless everyone pays, or we're dissolving NATO," and so he got people to pay up, and we're still in NATO. So. You know, some people could say, oh, Trump backed down. He said we were going to leave NATO. But really, that's just a negotiating tactic to bring them to the table and to get us to reach a better position from where we started.
Well, and that's how you do it if you're advocating for your constituents instead of against your constituents. Why don't we use the rest of the time for you to talk about your campaign? And what are you running for? And talk about your campaign.
Sure. I'm running for Congress here in Florida's 15th district. It's currently represented by a woman named Laurel Lee, and she's also a Republican. I'm running as Republican. The reason I'm running against her and the reason this race is so interesting is that on March 24th of this year, Trump posted on his Truth Social, "Will any great MAGA," this is a direct quote, "will any great MAGA Republican in Florida's 15th district please run against Laurel Lee?" So he had it out for her. He wants somebody to run against her. And I don't blame him. She's my representative. And she ran as very America First. And she has not voted as America. She's voted with Democrats since she's been in office. She's really she's been what a lot of people call a rhino, a traitor, very disloyal. So that's one thing.
Sadly, there's a lot of those. And they're getting backed by people like Americans for Prosperity who hate Trump. And they're backing candidates who also go against and hate Trump. What did she do that made Trump particularly angry? Do you know in particular?
Well, he hasn't said specifically, but a lot of people speculate it's because she was one of the only Florida congressperson, Republican congressperson, to not endorse Trump last year for president. She endorsed DeSantis. But
I see.
Aside from that, I mean, most voters here in the district don't really care about that so much. What they care about is that she has reneged on her election promises from just 2 years ago. So they're ready to
vote. What part of Florida is this district? Could you give us a couple of main cities that encompass your district?
Sure. If you know where Tampa is, which is central Florida. Yeah.
We love Tampa.
So do I. So this district goes from the very edge of Tampa, the eastern edge of Tampa, to the western edge of Lakeland, which is inland. It's if you keep driving through the district, you'll eventually hit Disney World.
I do. I bet it's changed since I've been there. It was just like a stop for gas. It used to be years ago. So Tampa, Lakeland, as it go north and south a little bit.
Yeah,
as
it's
well.
It's a lot of rural territory in between. I live in an area called Plant City, which is right in the center of the district. It includes
excellent.
An area called Zephyr Hill.
Yes.
And then, yeah.
It's a very, very nice area. Tell us about your campaign. You have other people running against her in the primary, and when is the primary?
Yes. Interestingly, though, I'm the only candidate in this race who even lives in the district. So it's not
really.
Yeah, I think it's very important to have a representative who lives in the district. Laurel Lee herself has since moved away. The primary, to answer your question, is August 20th.
Yeah.
And a lot of people ask, you know, what differentiates me from the other candidates? And I tell them this: 2020 was stolen, January 6th was a setup, and COVID was a scam. Those are my positions on those three issues. And I firmly believe we need a representative who takes that position and will stand up for us.
All the positions that the radical left has told us we're just not allowed to have. We're not allowed to think it. We're not allowed to even utter the words. I wonder why that is. Jennifer Barbosa, what's your website? Real quick. I'm almost out of time.
JenniferBarbosaForCongress.com.
Very good, Jennifer. Thank you for joining us. We got to wrap it up. That's it for the Ellen Nathan Show. Stand tall. I'm out of here.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.